Hi. The reading for today is Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servant went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Yeah, doing all right. Yeah, it's good. Hey, Daniel. Yes, if I haven't met you before, my name is Ben. I do a lot with our youth here and actually just recently a lot with our young adults as well, which is really exciting. Usually I'm downstairs. Not today. I'm up here with you guys, which is exciting. So, yeah, it's an honor to be here and to be, sharing the word with you today. Can you guys believe it's already December? It's December 4th today. I don't know how that happened. I swear it's still April, but here we are. 3 weeks till Christmas, is that right? Far out. So I came to that realization a few days ago that it's December, and you know, December is Christmas month, so I'm thinking about Christmas, which is great. And I don't know about you, but there's obviously a lot of great things that come into Christmas. Probably my least favorite part is actually the present buying, because I ended up just walking around the shopping center for hours and hours not knowing what to get anyone. Does anyone relate to me about Christmas buying? Yeah, okay, it's good. It's good. I think my favorite part about Christmas, though, is actually the time where you get to spend with people around a table, eating yummy food with them. And can anyone relate with me on that one? Eating food with people is good, yes? Yes or no? Yes? Okay, good. We can agree with that. That's good. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that. And it's something that I really appreciate about Christmas at the moment. But I was also remembering that there was definitely a time when I hated that part the most. And that was probably when I was a kid, around 12 or 13. And the reason for this was because my family would come over, the family friends would come over, and all the adults got to sit at the big table. And they would have all the good food there and everything like that. And then us little people got pushed to the corner. We had to sit at this small little plastic table where it was a little bit dirty and, you know, probably all the food fell on the floor and stuff like that. But it was fine because we were just kids. And I was probably fine. I was fine with that when I was about 5 or 6. But when I was 12, 13, I definitely felt very neglected. I was like, this is not okay. And so I really, really didn't like the Christmas dinner part of that. And the reason was because I just didn't really feel invited to that big table, right? I didn't feel like I was part of what was going on for Christmas. But you can best believe that one day when I was allowed to be on the adults' table, that was the day. It was so good. So before we get into the rest of the service for today, I actually wanted to get you guys just to chat amongst yourselves in twos or threes. Two questions, they'll come up on the screen. The first is, what's something that you're looking forward to for this Christmas? That's a little bit of an icebreaker one. And then the other one is, what's something that you were excited to get an invitation to? So I was excited to be invited to the adults' table when I finally turned 14 or 15. I can't really remember. So that's the question for you. What is something that you were once excited to be invited to? Chat within twos or threes, and then we'll come back together and continue on. Alrighty. Is anyone feeling brave they want to share? Oh, we got a hand at the back. Yes, Aaron.
So my brother's a builder and he owns his own company, and sometimes, even though I haven't worked at all for the whole year with him at all, sometimes he goes, I need an extra number for the Christmas party, and I'm like, I'm just waiting for the call, you know.
That's pretty special. That's good. I like that. That's a good one. That's good. Has that actually happened in the past?
Yes, twice.
Oh, well, there you go. That's great. That's great. Any other examples? Yeah.
When I was a teenager, my friend invited me to New Year's Eve at Luna Park, and it was 1999. So we ended up on top of the Ferris wheel with the midnight fireworks going to the year 2000.
Wow. That's... That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. I realize maybe the people online can't hear it, but just in case they can't, that was New Year's Eve 1999 on top of a Ferris wheel in Luna Park. Unlimited food, unlimited rides. That's awesome. Last one. Anyone? Final one? I don't know how you top that, but give it a go. Yeah. Oh, nice. You're invited to go to the Olympics. Wow, that's fantastic. As in a friend just invited you or... Yeah, great, there you go. I was wondering if maybe you were saying like the Olympic committee invited you to come or something like that. But that's good too. That's really good too. I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So yes, you might have... That might be a bit of a hint. We're talking about an invitation today. I don't know if you guys haven't been here the last few weeks, then you might not know, but we're actually in the middle of a new series called Everyone on Mission at Christmas. And we're actually continuing a series that we did earlier this year, which is just about everyone on mission. And that's why there's a little Lego person up there, because that was part of the theme that we had there. If you're wondering why there's Lego there, that's why. And the whole point of that series that we did earlier in the year, and we're continuing this year, is actually just talking about where are the places that God has put us, where has he placed us, where we can actually share the good news of Jesus. Who are the people that he's put in our lives, whether they're in our workplaces, in our sports teams, in our families even, where are the places that God has placed us where we can be on mission? And as we look at Christmas with this missional mindset, we've actually also been reflecting on the words that, look, most of us probably do know in John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And when we look at the story of Christmas, we see John 3:16 come alive, don't we? For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to earth. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at how God expressed his love to each of us. So last week, Steve, if you didn't catch it, jump online. It's a fantastic sermon. Last week, Steve spoke about the multitude of gifts that we have in Jesus. Next week's sneak preview, he'll also be talking about the expression of love that we see through Jesus' incarnation, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. But today I want to talk about how God expresses his love to us through an invitation. And as we look at the story of the wedding banquet, as Kat just read it out, we see that, first of all, everyone is invited to God's table. And secondly, we see that as those who've experienced God's love, we ourselves are called to invite others to God's table as well. Super simple. There's the 2 points there. If you're making notes, write them down. How about I pray for us and then we'll continue on, yeah? Yeah, God, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible, that it's so easily accessible to us here. Lord, I thank you that it's not just words on a page, but yeah, I believe that you speak through it to us every day. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to speak to us this morning through your word, and I pray that you would speak through me as well. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us of this invitation that you give each of us. In your name I pray. Amen. Yes, so our God is an inviting God. I think we can all probably agree with that, right? All throughout Scripture, we see God inviting people to experience more. So you have Adam and Eve, for example, in the Garden of Eden. They're invited to participate in the stewardship of creation. And that's in Genesis chapter 1. You can fact check me if you want. We also see in Genesis 12, God's people invited into this covenant relationship, especially through the man Abraham. But then that's carried on, isn't it, through all his descendants. And then skipping from Genesis 12 all the way to the New Testament, we see in the Gospels Jesus inviting the people that he meets to have faith in him, to trust in him, and to be in relationship with him. And that's where we come to our passage for today. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 22, because that's where the passage is from. Now, this parable, starting in verse 1, is actually the third part in a sequence of parables that Jesus tells in Matthew's 21 and 22. So this is part number 3. And each of these parables speak into what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. But it's especially highlighting in this section who actually gets to be in the kingdom of God, who is invited into the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is a movement that is totally centered around God, right? Like, you probably could have worked that out. But God is the king of this movement. And the outflow of this kingdom we see all throughout Jesus' ministry. It's this kingdom that brings restoration to brokenness in the world. It identifies God's people as his people. It gives them the opportunity to experience his presence with them. And it also gives them a greater purpose that's based completely on God's love for them. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the kingdom of God there as well, but we see that there, in the Old Testament, it was something that was just meant for the Jews. It was only the Jews were invited into this kingdom. And through the forming of covenant relationship with the Jews, they became God's people. They were all given exactly what they needed. They were protected from other nations, and they even had the law, the Torah, which told them how they could follow and obey God. And again, all of this was based on God's love for his people. God loved these people and so chose them to take part in his kingdom. And Jesus is playing on this idea here in the parable in Matthew 22. You see, in verse 2, he says that this kingdom that God has invited the Jews to is just like if a king were to invite a bunch of guests to a wedding banquet. You know, the food is prepared, the tables are set, everything is ready to go, right? All the guests need to do is show up. So he sends out his messages and he says, all right, come on, guys, come join us, come feast. We're celebrating this wedding. Come and join us. But what do the guests do? They refuse. And so, look, I don't know, if I was the king, I'd probably be a little bit confused, right? But he decides, okay, I'm going to send out more messengers. And he says, okay, you don't understand, everything is ready. You just need to come now, join us at the table, and feast and celebrate with us. But still there's nothing. And in fact, some of them ignored the messages, but what's worse is that some of them even attacked and killed the messages that were sent out to them. And look, I don't know about you, but this kind of whole idea, it's a bit of a strange thing to read, right? I mean, I, for one, love going to weddings. I know that some people don't, but I've been to like 9 in the last 2 years. I think I'm at that stage of life where everyone's getting married. But I love weddings. But what's more, I love food as well. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a feast? It sounds like it's free food, right? Who wouldn't want to go there? What is going on through these people's minds that they don't want to go? And even worse, why are they killing the messengers? Why are they attacking them? That seems a bit extreme, don't you think? What is going on here? Well, through the absurdity of this story, Jesus is highlighting the absurdity of what the Jews had been doing for generations. See, no matter how many times God extended the invitation to his people to join him, to take part in his provision, to obey him, to be part of his kingdom, every time they refused. And throughout Scripture, we see time and time again, the Jews either totally ignore God in order to worship other gods and idols, or they completely mistreat and persecute the ones that God sent to proclaim his message. See, they had the invitation extended to them to join God at the table, to take part in the kingdom, to feast, to celebrate, and to be in God's presence. But they refused. And so after punishing the guests who mistreats the servants in the parable, the king chooses to extend his invitation to all people. And this here is the main point that Jesus is making. In verse 9, the king says, "Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. You see, what this communicates is that the kingdom of God is one that is open to all people. While in the past it was just the Jews that were invited to commune with God and take part in his kingdom, now all are invited. The good, the bad, everyone is invited to sit and eat at his table. I just want to pause there for a second because this is really significant. It's significant for when Jesus was saying it, but I think it's significant for us as well. See, Jesus is saying here that no matter who you are, what you've done, no matter even if you feel like you deserve it or not, you are invited to join God. You don't have to reach a certain age or worthiness like I did when I had to reach the adult's table. It's completely out of God's love for us that Jesus came to earth so that we might be saved. And by his grace and forgiveness, he invites us to join him in his kingdom. He wants us with him. You see, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. The Christmas story shows us that it is so important to God that we hear and know the kingdom of God. You see, we're seeing a little bit of God's heart here, aren't we? It's important to him that we know the kingdom of God. And it's so important that he was willing to send his Son to come and tell us and to come and path the way for us. Well, after the guests come and join the king at the banquet, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a little bit of a shift in gears there, right? There's a second part that's kind of tacked on. And in fact, some commentators actually kind of see this as almost a second parable that's just seamlessly worked in to connect with the first parable. And you can kind of see that, right? Because it feels like it's making a different point. So at the feast, everyone seems to be having a good time. And then there's this man that's singled out by the king. And the reason why is he's not wearing his wedding clothes. Which, in other words, would just mean to say he's not wearing the required garments for the celebration. And this might feel a little bit random, but what Jesus is doing here is he's emphasizing that even though everyone is invited to the feast, there is still a requirement for those that accept the invitation. They have to be wearing the right clothes. Now, I don't think Jesus is telling us a dress code here or anything like that. I don't think he's telling us we have to be wearing wedding clothes every day or something like that. What he's saying here is that there is still the requirement of righteousness in order to join God and take part in the kingdom. You have to be right with God in order to join him at the table. And I think often we can struggle with not feeling worthy of being invited to the feasting table, hey? Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I just haven't earned it. But that's the scandal of it all, is the fact that we haven't earned it. The fact is we can't make ourselves righteous. As best as we might try, we can't get everything right. And we think we might be able to earn our way there. But if you think that you can, then I think we all realize it's just a mistake. You see, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. The Christmas story shows that God not only invites us to join him at the table, but he actually gives us the righteousness that we need to fit in with the rest of the party. By his grace, through Jesus, we are made right with God once again and can take part in this kingdom. And if you want to hear more about the things that God has done for us, you can actually listen back to Steve and Kathy's messages because they talked a lot about how God's love is shown to cover over all our wrongs. and how God gifts us so many things, every spiritual blessing through Jesus. But you see, this story tells us that we are all invited to God's table where we can sit and eat and rest and just enjoy the presence of the one who loves us more than we know. And by his grace, only through wearing the robes of righteousness given to us by Jesus, by his grace can we enter the kingdom and feast at God's table. So I wonder, have you accepted his invitation? Because we are all invited to God's table. Well, last week I actually got to preach somewhere else, which was exciting, at Constitution Hill Retirement Village, just down the road. And I think some of you were there as well, which is great. And it was fantastic. I got to speak on the birth of Jesus as it's seen in Luke chapter 2. And it wasn't just me. We had a whole bunch of kids there. They sung a song and everything. It was really great, actually. They gave out little star craft things. I still have mine. It was good. It was a really great time. And as I was preparing for that message and also just thinking for this message as well, something really stood out to me from Luke chapter 2. See, when the angel appears to the shepherds, they say in verse 2, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Hear that? This is good news that Jesus has come. Good news that causes great joy for all the people. And when you think about it, I mean, what's the natural response to any good news? You tell people, right? Like, that's the natural response. You do well in something at school or at work, I mean, you'd tell people. You'd probably be pretty proud of it. You have good medical news, maybe. You go tell your friends and your family so they can be relieved. You get engaged, or maybe you're having a baby. Obviously, you would go and tell people. You wouldn't keep that to yourself, right? The immediate response to good news is you go out and tell people. And that's what we see for the shepherds as well in Luke chapter 2. Their immediate response after they hear about Jesus is they go and they find Mary and Joseph. And then after that, they go and tell everyone that they see. In verse 17 to 18 of Luke 2, we see it says, "When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." See, the natural response to good news is to tell people about it. And the same goes for the good news about Jesus coming to earth. The Christmas story of Jesus coming tells us that God, because of God's great love for us, we are all invited into his kingdom, and he has done all that was needed so that we can join him there. And just as the shepherds went around telling everyone that the Messiah had come, the invitation is there for us to do the same. And we do this through both our words and our actions. As we seek to alert people to the kingdom of God, we can do this through the way that we announce it with our words, but also through the way that we demonstrate it with our actions at the same time. And what better way to share this good news than to reflect on the Christmas story with those who are already in our lives, hey? And so as we seek to be on mission at Christmas, I think it makes so much sense to extend this invitation that we've received to those that God has put in our lives. God's put us in our places for a reason. In the past, we've talked about people of peace. Give me a nod if you recognize that saying. Like four of you do. Great. Okay, fantastic. We've talked about these people of peace, which is basically just about identifying those people that God has put in our lives who just might be a little bit more receptive to the gospel. They have a bit of a listening ear. And these could be people in any of our circles. They could be from work, from school, from our family, from sport teams or whatever. And I believe Christmas is one of these really special times where we can actually connect with those people of peace and share some really significant conversations with them about this stuff. And so I was going to get you to brainstorm some ideas, but I think we don't really have a lot of time. So I'm just going to give you two examples of ways that we can go about this, ways that we can actually share the good news and invite people into the kingdom of God this Christmas. And they're very simple. The first is to utilize the table, to use the table. Now, although in reality a table is just a plank of wood with four legs attached to it, I think there's also so much more power to the table, right? There is a real power in inviting someone into your home. There's power in eating a meal with someone, sharing stories, and having good conversations with them. You know, Jesus ate with the marginalized and with sinners, and it meant the world to them, right? The early church met around tables. The table is a powerful space for sharing the good news with others. And the idea of the kingdom of God is being like God's table is all throughout the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 22, 1 Corinthians 10, Malachi 1, and Ezekiel 39. Again, you can fact check me later. What better way to reflect the invitation that we've received to join God at his table? What better way than to extend that invitation to others to join our table at Christmas? Dan White Jr. Says that the renewal of church will not start on stages, it will start around tables, which I really like. As someone standing on a stage, I really like that. So this Christmas, let's seek to be welcoming others, to be eating and enjoying meals with people who don't know God. Let's be seeking those who don't have places to go for Christmas, opening up our homes so that others can hear the good news. And let's be inviting people to hear that good news about Jesus. Let's make use of that table. It's not just a plank of wood. And the second one, really quickly, another way that we can just go about inviting people to hear the good news about Jesus is inviting them here, right? I feel like that's pretty easy, kind of a cop-out answer, but I'm going to give it to you. We have a bunch of Christmas services coming up, which will actually be really great opportunities for anyone seeking to learn more about faith. There are invitations that I think you guys hopefully got there right here. If you didn't, there's heaps in the foyer. But those invitations are actually kind of the perfect thing to be able to give over to someone, right? And say, hey, we're doing this thing at church and I would love for you to come with me. Might be a little bit scary, but hey, why don't we just be bold and go for it? What's the worst that could happen, right? And so I guess I have a question for you. Is there anyone that you feel like might be receptive to either come along with you to a Christmas service or even just be keen to have a meal with you? There's two challenges. Who is someone that you can invite to your Christmas table this year? Or if you don't have a Christmas table, I don't know, who's someone that you can have a meal with this year for Christmas? And the second challenge is, who can you invite to one of our Christmas services as well? Do we have time? I think we have time. I wanted to have a bit of a reflection time, if that's okay with you guys. Does everyone have an invite on them handy? There's a reason why you all got them handed out to you. The reason why is because I'd love for you to just be holding this, and we're going to have like 2 minutes, maybe even one or two minutes, just spending some time reflecting and asking God, who are some people that you want me to invite to the table? Who are some people that you've put in my life that I can actually be inviting? And so I'll give you a minute, 2 minutes to actually be thinking about that and be praying, God, please open doors there and please be working in my community and in my space. So 2 minutes, you got that, and then I will finish up and then we will sing a song to finish. Yeah, God, I want to thank you for the invitation that you extend to all of us. Thank you that by your grace, we are more than welcome to come and feast with you at your table. And yeah, thank you for revealing your heart to us, that you actually want us to be part of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that as we think and we reflect on Christmas, that you would just put people in our hearts that we can invite to hear about you. because, God, you came to the earth because of your love for us. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have wisdom and clarity in how we can share that love with the people that we know who don't yet know you. And so, Lord, go before us. I pray that you would convict us, and I pray that this week we'll just have so many opportunities where we can share you with the people around us. In your name I pray. Amen.